Hello and welcome to Beauty Inside Out, where I share my experiences, insights, and knowledge of health, beauty, and wellness, as well as interview pioneers within the industry on a variety of topics. I am your host, Kimberly Snyder. I love to discuss topics that are on my mind and in my heart. So joining me in the conversation every week is my dear friend, Tony, or as I like to call him, T. Tony was my co-host on my previous podcast, and he's back to join me for these topical weekly segments. Hey, beauties, welcome back. I'm here with our beloved Tony and our Bubby. We're all here in the same room. Tony's visiting me again in LA. Hey, guys. Yes. Tony the tiger.
He's so cute.
And Bubby is next to us. He's trying to pull the microphone cord and wear it as a hat. But we have a really special topic today that I think is important. There's many different aspects of the topic about heavy metal detox. And it's such a... It's just really important because it has a really big effect on us. Whether we're aware of it or not, there are heavy metals that come into our bodies from the food supply, which we'll talk about in a minute. And these free radicals, these heavy metals can lodge in our systems and be the source of millions of free radicals, be very, cause a lot of inflammation in our system, which you know is the precursor for pretty much every illness, every disease, accelerated aging, pain, so on and so forth.
Absolutely.
I know. It's a lot. It's like,
yeah.
we don't want to come across like a fear-based approach. Like, oh my gosh, the world is scary. There's heavy metals. But what we do, our approach is let's be smart. Let's be strategic. And there's things that we can do to reduce the heavy metal load.
Yeah. No, again, and not to be fearful, but or fear-based, but...
Mindful,
yeah, because there are a few things that we kind of get or exposed to on a regular basis that would be more toxic than heavy metals. Heavy metals are so damaging to the brain, to the gut, our immunity, like you said. I mean, they can make you gain more weight. They can disrupt your metabolism, your hormones. Like, there's such systemic effects from heavy metals that we should, you know, that don't belong in our body. And they're, like, you know, amongst all toxins that are out there, there's just some of the worst. And so it's just really important to give them special consideration in terms of like, how do we address them? How do we detox them?
Mm-hmm. So one thing I want to bring up first, T, is rice. We've been getting a lot of questions about this in the community, and I answered it recently on one of the Thursday Q&A podcasts with Caitlin. But I just want to get into it a little bit here because of the concern with arsenic in rice. And it is true that sampling has shown that there can be trace amounts of arsenic in rice to different varying amounts, different levels. So it's something that we want to be aware of. Now, that being said, there are very powerful, easy ways to dramatically reduce any possible amount of arsenic contamination. We know arsenic is, of course, a heavy metal.
Sure.
But what there are two things you can do with your rice. The first is soaking it, which is something that we've always talked about in beauty detox. Germinated, sprouted, soaked rice. You always want to make sure that Bubby's trying to pull the mic up. You want to make sure that you're soaking it overnight. And again, this is something we've done from the beginning of beauty detox. So it's a natural part of our lifestyle. Not only does it help to promote better digestion of the rice, what it does is it also opens up the rice. So it allows any of the arsenic that may be present in the rice to come out and into the water. So soaking rice overnight, very, very easy step, always recommended, then rinse the rice really well. The second thing you can do is to cook the rice in way more water than is needed. So let's say you have a rice cooker, and I grew up with a rice cooker because, you know, my mother's side of the family is Filipino, and she's a Filipina, and we had our auntie live with us. So I grew up having rice almost every meal. And in a rice cooker, you put the rice and then you measure out how much water and it kind of like comes out perfect. But if our goal is to reduce arsenic, we don't want it to come out perfect. So I've been making my rice lately in a pot and you put in a lot more water than rice. So let's say, you know, for one cup of rice, you could put like 4 cups of water, like a lot. And it's the same thing. It opens up the rice and the arsenic could go into the water and then you strain it. It's not going to be the same taste. And honestly, sometimes my rice feels a little soggy and it's kind of a bummer. And sometimes I chew it by accident because I don't measure and I'm in a rush. So, you know, it's kind of like pros, cons, like, sure, you know, what's most important. If you're eating rice quite a bit as I am, then you, you know, you want to take some of these measures, you know, as you can. I mean, I'm always soaking my rice no matter what.
Or okay, germinating. Can you also like pour, if you really like that dry rice, like taste or texture, couldn't you just pour water off and then like get rid of the arsenic and then kind of like cook it a little?
Yes, and which is what I do. I often pour it off and then I kind of cook it in my green pan to make it drier.
Yes.
Again, which is sort of the analogy of, you know, soaking nuts and then they get soggy and then rehydrating them in a dehydrator.
Yeah.
So I just want to start with that because it's something you guys have been asking about a lot. I do eat quite a bit of brown rice. It started, I think, the tail end of my pregnancy, like carbs just feel really good. And brown, you know, rice is also, so it also has been associated with higher breast milk production. So I just got really into rice again at this point in my life. So these are tips that you can incorporate.
Yes. And just to kind of round out, like the primary sources, I think rice on the spectrum is actually pretty low relative to like amalgam or like fish, you know.
Mercury.
Yes. So
exactly. Like there's so much, you know, the media plays these things out like, oh my gosh, the arsenic in the rice. But what about people too that eat fish,
sushi, like multiple times a week
or more?
Yeah, exactly. So fish is a really huge source. It's probably the biggest dietary source of heavy metals. And then, you know, amalgam fillings we've talked about before too.
Well, let's talk about fish for a minute because a lot of people seem to think, oh, you know, fish seems healthier than eating a piece of red meat. Right. And theoretically, we could say, oh, well, it's less dense. It could be, depending on the type of fish, a little bit less fatty or less cholesterol.
Whatever. Yeah, they point to things. But
the fact is, you know, it's basically a sponge for the heavy metals in the ocean.
Yes.
And we you know, they live in very polluted waters and the water comes into a fish. If you guys have watched the fish, you've been in an aquarium, it comes in and it's filtered out through the gills. Fish are like filters and they're taking in all those heavy metals. So they're just sponging it all up.
Yes. Yeah. And
so it's not this like safe, amazing food that I think we've been led to believe.
I mean, I've been around so many people. There's almost nobody that like kind of follows all the, you know, kind of like, oh, it only, you know, or any restaurant, because a lot of people eat like, oh, when they go out, they eat fish or sushi or whatever. But there's almost no like sushi. I've never actually encountered a sushi place that will like test for heavy metals or anything like that.
No, so and like 80% of sushi fish is mislabeled tea. That's what I've read in LA, at least.
Yeah. And so really it's, if you're eating like sushi or even just regular other fish, like out in a restaurant, it's not tested to be like heavy metal free or even low in heavy metals. It's like, there's a really, really high probability that it will contain a good amount of heavy metal.
Well, I think there's heavy metals in animal products in general, because a lot of these bioaccumulate as you go up the food supply.
Yeah. And yeah, a lot of like even, yeah, there's so many there. Exactly. There's heavy metals
in chicken.
Yeah, exactly. It's in a lot of products, a lot of animal products.
So just being cognizant of it, we just want to reduce our fish consumption for sure. And, you know, animal protein in general, just trying working more plant-based meals. Also have lots and lots of cilantro.
Yes, exactly. So that, yeah, that's a good segue into the detoxing aspect and some of the key points in terms of when it comes to. So in my research, in terms of like the cost effective, you know, we've talked a lot about saunas and infrared saunas, and that's really good. Opening up the skin as a detoxification pathway. And you've talked about
penetrating down.
Exactly.
Because a lot of it's stored in our fat cells.
Exactly. So that's a really good avenue. But just like bang for your buck, cilantro and chlorella are probably two of like the
chlorella most, over spirulina in this case.
Yes, yeah, chlorella. Interesting. Is a better bind, you know, better like chelator and kind of binder to the heavy metals than spirulina is.
But that's just the structure of chlorella.
Exactly. So those are really amazing, just in terms of like a cost effective.
I love the way those chlorella tablets taste. I just started getting into them again.
Yeah.
I found, oh my gosh, sorry to go on a tangent, T, but I found a whole bag, like these bags. I got like 10 bags of these at Home Goods. I'm like obsessed nice. With the store, and they had these like amazing chlorella tablets. But you know, I just chew them.
Yes.
And they taste great. If I'm in a bind, they help me diminish my, you know, just quell my appetite for a little while. I think chlorella is amazing.
Yeah. And cilantro is really, most people, I know I've heard you're either like a
lover or a non-lover. Yeah, exactly.
It's like a polarized feeling, but if you do like cilantro. You
put it in your GGS.
Yeah, it's one of the most amazing. Cilantro is one of the strongest kind of ways too.
So I think in research tea, isn't it like a third a cup a day is considered therapeutic long-term, something yes. like that? Like third cup packed.
Yeah.
Which is not that hard to get.
No, you can put that in a salad easily.
You can put it in a wrap. You yeah. can put it on top of your soup.
I know. And it's not so strong. Like you could even use it, like you said, in a wrap. You could also use it as your lettuce or as your
green That's leaf. What I do.
Your green leafy vegetable. Yeah.
Yeah. I love cilantro. I'm lucky that way.
Yes.
But for our non-cilantro lovers, chlorella yes. is yes. the other way you could go.
Yeah. And sea vegetables are also really amazing chelators, pretty much all of them. So
how long do you think, if someone had, you know, what was considered higher mercury levels, how long do you think it would take for their body to release a lot of it?
Yeah.
You know, just, it so depends on your constitution. Yeah, it
depends on like a constitution, but also on their diet. So mm-hmm. another thing that's really important, that's really good about beauty detox diet is the abundance of fiber mm-hmm. that helps sweep away.
And constantly cleaning.
Constantly cleaning. And fiber is also binding,
picking up. Yeah.
Binding agent. And also like an eliminative helps with elimination. And I think that's a really key principle, is that having all the channels of elimination really open. So like we talk about skin elimination through the colon, kidneys also are really, really important.
Mm-hmm.
So certain herbs,
lungs, deep breathing or yogic exactly. aspect of beauty detox.
So having all of those open are really, really key. And then that's a really big deal, you know, taking things to facilitate the detox. But then another really, really key thing, and this is where we mentioned fiber, but really where probiotics can be really valuable, is that heavy metals do such a number on our gut health.
Mm.
And
like, they wipe out
exactly
good flora.
They wipe out good flora, and they can also cause like yeast and pathogens to kind of like candida to come in and kind of really wreak havoc. And so having a really good probiotic like SBOs, where they're very it's pretty aggressive against like yeast and fungi and other pathogens, is really, really important kind of for like removing the kind of near term, like the more immediate symptoms, but then long term rebuilding the gut in such a way that it kind of shifts back into balance after heavy metals have kind of harmed it for a period of time.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, that's great to know. And it's great to know that, you know, some of the things, you know, because we don't recommend a ton of things to buy or supplements.
Yes.
But something like the SBO probiotics is so multifaceted. It's yes. working on so many different levels.
Exactly. So it's like something like that with cilantro and some chlorella, you can get a lot of the way towards a complete heavy metal detox with just those things. And,
yeah.
and so not a lot of money. It's like you're not going to some clinic and spending thousands of dollars. It's a very reasonable amount of money to get like a really significant benefit from detoxing heavy metals, which, as we said in the beginning, is one of the more toxic things that we're exposed to on a regular basis.
Yes. And then just going forward, really limiting how much fish you eat.
Yes. Yes.
It can be a hard one to you know, to kind of get into the habit of, but you know, it can definitely be done. Just like, you know, when we put our mind to anything and just creating those new habits and finding new meals and foods that we love to cook. Of course, we have lots and lots of recipe options for you guys yes. to check out. So thank you guys so much. Thank you, T, for this amazing information.
I hope
this was really helpful to you guys. Please check out the show notes. We'll have some more info in there. And we'll be right back right after the break. Unlike some probiotic formulas, which are isolated friendly species that have been removed from their natural environment, our SBO probiotics are totally natural and work together to help bring your gut flora back into balance. The best way to ensure that you never miss a month and therefore never miss out on less bloating, boosting your energy, and many other benefits, please check out our discounted subscription membership. Sign up for your subscription today at shop.kimberlysnyder.com. Okay, beauties, welcome back for a very special interview. I'm so excited to share with you today. I'm with Dr. Emily Kybird, who's the founder of the Urban Wellness Clinic, which is a premier wellness center located in the heart of Midtown Manhattan. And Dr. Kybird specializes in a variety of fields, including biomechanics, if I can say it right, yoga and functional movement patterns. So, Doctor, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
I love that you combine different therapies together, especially this new field. I've heard this term recently, but it's not a term I heard a couple years ago, biomechanics. Can you tell us a little bit about how it works?
Yeah, so we basically look at how the body moves. And obviously there's different philosophies. So like yoga will have a certain approach. Pilates mm-hmm. will have a different approach. There's many different physical therapy techniques. And obviously every technique or a single technique doesn't work for everyone. So it's good to have lots of tools in your toolbox and just knowing when to use which ones for the right person. But just really specializing in biomechanics, often looking outside of where there is pain. So someone might have pain in their neck, but we want to really look from head to toe to see if it's coming from somewhere else as a root cause.
So one of the things that I think across the board we all deal with on a very regular basis, on a daily basis, is stress, right? We hold stress in different ways in our body. It affects us. It affects us physically. Emotional stress relates to physical stress. Can you explain a little bit about that connection and some of the top causes and triggers of stress that we internalize?
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, we see this every day in our clinic.
Yeah.
Especially in New York when everyone is so go and doesn't
running around. Yes.
Yeah, totally. So, you know, there's stress is not a bad thing. Stress is only bad when it is constant. So the nervous system has two settings. One is fight or flight, which is like we're going to fight a bear or we're going to run away from it. And then mm-hmm. the other one is to rest and digest. And that part is that feeling of calm, well-being, that everything's okay. So ideally, 80% of our day would be in that calm, everything's okay. And maybe 20%, like when we need to get the hormones amped up to like, you know, fight or flight would be in our 20% of our day. But obviously, you know, in New York and from, you know, people across the country, that is reversed. And we are on this kind of ongoing go, letting our body rest and recover. And this leads to changes in our cortisol levels, can lead to problems with sleep, insomnia, sex drive, our immune function can be diminished. Yeah, so there is like long-term consequences, you know, and there's also shorter-term consequences. Like there's breathing patterns, you know, when we're stressed out, we'll breathe from our chest a lot. And then we start to get neck pain, headaches, because we're overusing those muscles throughout our day. Yeah.
Well, I love that you use that ratio. It's interesting because that's the ratio we use here in our community for my dietary philosophy. I say, you know, try to be on point with your diet 80% of the time. You know, you don't try to be perfect because then it's very rigid and it's easy to sort of fall into that I'm off, I'm on mentality. So I like how you break that down to, you know, 80% of the time we are sort of relaxed and chilled out. But then there is that time where we do need to motivate. We do need to move. But as you mentioned, unfortunately, the stress is reversed. Like a lot of the time we're in that fight or flight mentality or that energy. It's just rampant in our society, isn't it? Whether or not you live in a city or not.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's even just in on a more smaller cellular level, there's this concept called hormesis, where basically microdosing a little stressor to make our bodies more resilient, more robust. So that is really how stress is meant to be. But so, for example, like when we go exercise, the benefits of exercise is actually what happens in recovery, making us more resilient for, you know, when we exercise again, or if we are fasting, same thing. It's a mild, low-dose stressor that makes us more resilient. But when that stressor is chronic and constant and we burn out our adrenal glands, those things that are meant to give us that boost of energy, then we start to feel fatigue, we get joint pain, can lead to lots of like disease down the road.
Well, earlier too, Doctor, you mentioned about our neck pain. And I know at the end of the day, at the end of the week, I noticed that my neck does get sore. And I've tried a couple things like lifting my laptop up to being closer to eye level with some books, because I feel like I look down a lot. I know a lot of us look down at our phones and, you know, we text a lot. Is there anything, any simple tips or recommendations you can make for just helping to ease some of the extra stress on our bodies from technology?
Yeah, absolutely. I sit on the train every day and I want to like scream it to like the world. Like, stop looking, you know, every single person is like chin jutting or looking down. And I'm just like, the tech neck. I'm thinking, oh my God, your poor neck, the discs, they're just like working so hard. The muscles are like straining to try and keep your head up against gravity. Absolutely. So if we're going to talk like tech neck, even just like thinking about cell phone in particular, if you know, most people like have their phone down and then basically drop their chin towards their chest, or jut their chin forward, right? So when the head is balanced over the shoulders, your head's about, you know, 10, 12 pounds. Every inch that we start to bring our chin forward so that gravity is now creating more compression down, the body perceives the head as like an additional 8 to 10 pounds heavier. So if your chin is jutted 2 inches forward to look at that neck, to look at that phone and the text, now your brain is perceiving a 30-pound head and it's now trying to stabilize that. So either people can like bring their phones up, so it's like a little more eye level, and it will probably feel a little weird at first. Or if you want to keep your phone down, looking down with your eyes and, you know, giving yourself breaks throughout the day. Part of being, you know, this chronic stress is that we are always connected to technology. And from a core strength stability perspective, like we learn all our movement patterns that first year of life. I know you have a baby. I have a baby as well. Baby Elvis is 16 months old right now.
He's a little bit older. Baby E, I call him little Bub. He's 13 months now.
Oh, amazing. So that first year of life, they learn to roll over, lift their head, come up onto hands and knees. Is your little guy walking already?
No, he's still doing his army crawl and he's pulling up, but he's not walking yet. I'm happy he's not an early adopter. Some of the babies in my mom's group are fully walking. They've been walking since 10 months. So I know there's a wide range.
There is a wide range. But that first year that we learn all those movement patterns, like your baby, no one ever taught your baby how to roll over, right? They just learned it. It's like deep ingrained in the brain. Part of that is being able to anticipate and to learn through failure, right? So tried to roll over, got frustrated, cried, tried the next day, right? So that is how we learn our movements. When we're on our phone all day or connected to technology, we're not anticipating, right? We're not like having a spatial awareness. Right, like when you're walking down the street, you almost run into someone, you're like, oh, whoa, I didn't realize. So that changes the way our brain remembers movement patterns. And we learn through failure. So every time someone is jutting their neck and looking at the phone, you're literally training your body to be really good to do that movement. You just want to also be really good, like standing up straight, eyes on the horizon, have good belly breathing. So balancing out.
You know. So doctor, when you say balancing out, do you mean, I mean, this is sort of a separate question, but I was told by a chiropractor because my back started to really hurt after, I mean, I last week, I literally used a stroller for the first time. I just carry my baby everywhere. I love the carrier. And I just noticed, you know, lower back pain, and she pointed out that I wasn't using my core enough, you know, when I'm walking. So is that something you commonly see as well? Especially if we walk in high heels, which is a whole other issue, but we just dump into our lower back.
Totally. So especially with wearing a carrier, because I have an ergo, I love it. That waist strap will pull our low back into too much of an arch, a sway. And that can create lots of compression on the discs, on the joints. Same thing can happen if we are wearing high heels, right? We'll change our center of gravity and kind of push us into jamming our low back, like pushing our hips forward, and kind of sagging in the low back. Especially as women, sometimes women are more mobile in general than men. And then those movements can decrease our core stability.
So here he is, speaking of a little guy. Do you not wear heels, doctor?
Oh, man. My husband would love if I wore heels more. Begs for it, but no, not really.
Oh, wow.
It's a rare occasion.
I definitely been switching over to flats more, and I have so many heels in my closet, but I do notice a difference the day after a big night of wearing heels out. It does make a difference.
Yeah. Absolutely. I will be, like, debilitated the next day. You know, part of that is, when, like, you know, so many people talk about the core. It's like such a hot buzz, you know, buzzword.
Yes.
Like, good core stability starts with, like, good belly breathing. So when you watch your baby during that first year of life, after 6 weeks, because, it, you know, in the first 2 months, to 6 weeks to 2 months, their lungs aren't developed. So you'll see their belly, like, up and down, up and down. But as, like, from 3 months on, they expand through their belly 360. So, you know, as they take an inhale, their belly lifts forward and expands wide, and they get a little expansion into their back. That creates a tank of strength on the inside. So like that little barrel where the top of it is your diaphragm, the bottom is your pelvic floor, and then there's muscles that wrap around to be your corset. So that's like your little tank of strength. And when we're breathing from our chest, like when we're stressed and we used to do lots of chest breathing and we flare our ribs, we lose that tank of strength. So one of the first things we do with all our patients is teach them how to belly breathe again.
Wow.
And then we teach them how to do it face down. And then we teach them how to do it on hands and knees. And we literally try to get back their stability through that pattern of movement that we learned when we were babies. Because if you get someone to stand and try to belly breathe, it's going to feel really hard to access. Sometimes you have to take them down on their back and do it. Like when they were 3 months old and they had their knees over their hips. Like when a baby at 3 months learns to lift their knees. And then that's like the first moment they get core stability. Up until then, they're just kind of flailing all over the place.
So is the goal for us to belly breathe most all of the time as we learn to do it properly?
Yes, I would go back to the 80-20. So like 80% of the time, belly breathing, creating good core stability just by having that breath. You know, when we are in that fight or flight, go, 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 that other ideal 20%, we're going to have to chest breathe because we're going to have to, you know, run or do something that's like more physical.
Mm-hmm.
So then after ideally being able to return to that belly breath, relatively easy. Yeah.
Wow. I love how, you know, things that seem so simple, like breathing, things, you know, the yogic practices, the pranayama, that are ancient, but they're so powerful and they hold up, don't they?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's like a reason that, like, you know, years later, people are still doing a yoga practice. There's like, there's so much weight in it. So.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Kyburg, for being with us today. And if any of you happen to be in New York, you can come visit Dr. Kyburg at the Urban Wellness Clinic. We're going to link to it in the show notes. And I know that you do all kinds of different therapies. You look at injuries and pain and just ways to reduce stress for individuals. Is that right?
Yeah. So we're full service clinic. We do chiropractic, physical therapy, strength training, yoga. We like to look at the body, you know, at different lenses. So we also do nutrition. We look at people's sleep. Yeah, so we're kind of like the one-stop shop to get your body back into good health.
That's fantastic. That is fantastic. Well, thank you so much for being with us and for these very helpful tips. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And thank you guys so much for tuning in. Okay, beauties, it's time for our tip of the week. Purchase a diffuser and try using essential oils to uplift your mood. I have done a few podcasts on essential oils, and I really believe in their benefits. Be sure to check out my blogs and podcasts to find out more about why I love them. Okay, beauties, I will be back with you on Thursday for my Q&A session show where I answer questions from the Beauty Detox community. To submit your question, please go to KimberlySnyder.com/AskKimberly. Thanks so much and see you again soon. And always remember, progress, not perfection, as true beauty comes from the inside out.